We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Lanky southpaw going to work on Anthony Rizzo. Cubs lead 3-2, eighth inning. Rizzo lines one to deep right field. It's got a chance. Gone. A screaming line drive home run for Anthony Rizzo to right. And the Cubs now lead 4-2.
Leila Rahimi, Mark Grody. Middays, 9 a.m. to noon on 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
What a demoralizing moment that had to be for the Pirates manager, Derek Shelton. He had just brought in the lefty, Sam Howard, feeling pretty smart about himself. Lefty, and Rizzo says, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and hit a home run off your guy in the eighth inning and make it a 4-2 ball game. And you heard it all right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Pat Hughes with the call. This is absolutely the Bernstein and Rahimi show. Dan Bernstein has the day off today, but Leila is here as well. I am Mark Grody, and we are talking Cubs. A 4-2 win over the Pittsburgh Pirates yesterday, and there were successes everywhere yesterday, Leila. Jake Arrieta was good enough. Craig Kimbrell was excellent. There were 11 hits. The previous high this season had been 6 hits. The approach at the plate was very simple. It looked to me, Leila, it was go up. Like, you could tell Ross gathered his troops, or maybe it was Iapochi, and said, swing the bats and see what happens.
Swing away, because there's not much lower to go when you're batting 124 as a team going into that game.
Oof. Yeah.
It's still one of the most disturbing numbers I have heard in a long time. And in fact, Marquis put up the graphic, accountably so, saying that they had the second lowest average as a team 6 games into the season since 1900.
Oh my God. Yuck. We're doing that again? It's always daunting when we go back to the early 1900s with the Cubs.
Like, because anytime you have to bring up a stat there before the previous pandemic, like, that's not a good sign. But they did exactly what they needed to do. And that's why, Mark Grody, I was so pleased as a baseball fan yesterday, because the Cubs got the game they needed. The White Sox got the game they needed. And in a very humorous turn, we saw a guy in the crowd in Pittsburgh sitting shirtless, somewhat behind home plate in like the third or fourth row.
Oh, it was hilarious.
And the reason I bring it up, and a lot of people got super defensive on Twitter, which frankly can be said for anything. But the funniest part about that to me was just the idea of, like, nature is healing and we're seeing all these signs. And all these fans behind him are in masks and they're covered. And you now have to cover your face in addition to everything else. And this guy's like, nope, here's me sitting with my shirt off. And it was so jarring. I think I'm going to feel the same way about seeing a full crowd at a ballpark. I was like, yeah. Whoa. Uh-huh. But it was so funny because it was just such a vibe. Like, he was like, nope, this is my game. I'm sitting here at PNC, one of the best ballparks in the world. I'm shirtless. I'm behind home plate and I'm going to be on TV. Everybody else can deal.
He looked like... Okay, so first of all, just to give people a little bit more background on the description, he's probably 70-ish, skinny yes. White guy, and I was thinking about his day. He looked like a guy who just finished mowing the lawn with his shirt off and his t-shirt like tucked in his belt. Like, can you get the visual here? He's like got the lawn, like the beat up lawn boy. He's got a huge field. He just finished with the push mower and he said, you know what, screw it, I'm going to the Pirates game, because he's got season tickets, because obviously those were excellent seats that he had had.
Great.
And he
seats.
Said, you know what, screw it, I'm doing this. I'm putting the lawnmower in the garage. I'm getting in the car. I'm going to PNC. And you know what? Damn it, I'm taking my shirt off because it's 84 degrees out here, and I don't care. Like, and you know what? That's probably the age about which I would feel comfortable taking my shirt off as well. And he just like, it was great.
It was such a vibe. Like, all of it was just a ridiculous vibe. And all these people got mad because he wasn't wearing a mask. And like, I'm not trying to legislate that right now in this moment. I'm just saying, compared to everybody else, and there's a level to it not being in a bleacher or outfield situation. These right. are like the classy, behind home yeah. plate, fancy seats. And he's like, right. nope, I'm chilling. Here's me.
Exactly. It's what did you say? Like, you put it perfectly. It was like the paradox of every, like, the way it looked just so different from...
The contrast.
Yes. Thank you. The contrast.
It's like, yes, that was the funniest part to me. And all these people got super defensive. And I was like, no, that's not what this is really about.
Yeah, no. I was like, come on. Funny is funny. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes you have to look at something and be objective about it and just say, that's just funny. I mean, look, if you don't get the humor in that, then I'm sorry, because some things are just funny. But
if there's one thing I've learned as a woman on Twitter and the sports yeah. space, it is that a lot of people want to put words in my mouth that I didn't actually say. And I say lot of words, so just go with those instead, people.
Yeah. Like, hey, guess what? Girls can be funny, too.
Or here's a thought, what I say is actually what I say. If I want to say something different, then I'll just use that. I'll use different words to say something different, and that's how you know it's different.
You're one of them people who doesn't like their words twisted, eh? Or different meanings
just,
taken.
You know, just if I'm saying something, then just take it for what it is. There's a
All
thought.
All right, let's take the Cubs for what they are. And I don't even know where to start. I want to start with Craig Kimbrel, because
yes.
This may be another tinkle in your Cheerios moment that I'm about to bring up. But when Craig Kimbrel succeeds, I know.
Don't kill the vibe.
I think Cubs fans are gonna like what I'm about to say, and I think you're gonna like what I'm about to say. When Craig Kimbrel succeeds, do you think, oh, this is awesome for the Cubs this year? They've got a closer. Or do you think we may have an asset? A very, very wanted man at the trade deadline, because he's really that, like, five out save, Craig Kimbrel come in with the bases loaded and one out and just destroy people. You could probably get a pretty good haul for Craig Kimbrel at the trade deadline.
That means that you think that the Cubs cannot sustain any type of successful performance by the trade deadline, and that
That's
they're
the
out of contention
part.
For the division. And then in that case, we have a dumpster fire on our hands, because you're probably talking about Chris Bryant and whoever else, potentially Anthony Rizzo, if the contract is really not on the table. This is a chaos situation you bring up when I'm just trying to enjoy the fact that Craig Kimbrel is still touching 97 and he comes to get the five out save and does exactly what he needs to do after three straight walks.
No, he was great. I mean, yeah. I mean, he was dominant too. Like, it wasn't, this was not like a, you know, Joe Borowski save. This was legit. Like, this was Craig Kimbrel. This was the guy that you brought in a couple of years ago. But, I mean, I'm just being honest. Like, I don't think there's any way the Cubs are going to be bad this year. Like, they're not going to be atrocious. But if they are not, if they don't feel like, and they've indicated this, like, if they don't feel like they're going to be a team that can succeed in the postseason, let's just put it that way. Like, they might be able to make the playoffs, but if right. they don't think that, what is it really worth, considering the bar that has been set by the Cubs, and they've set a bar of excellence since 2015, winning the World Series, if you're going to be average, I think you have to look at guys I mean, look at Chris Bryant. Like, you need, no matter what, you need these guys to succeed, because either you want the team to be good this year, which would be great. I would love it if the Cubs were, like, unexpectedly dominant this year. But it's good that Chris Bryant was 2-for-4 yesterday. It's good that Rizzo hit a home run. It's good that Craig Kimbrel is thriving, because you have to think about these in terms of this year and what they might give you in the future, because I don't think Jed Hoyer is done. And he's indicated as much every time he's been on or every time I've heard him talk.
Oh, yeah. To me, there are a couple of baseball truths, and one of them is people will overpay for relievers at the trade deadline. And if Craig Kimbrel is giving everyone the feels and he's still producing like this, then yes, of course you consider flipping him, because prospect capital would be at a premium. I'm more encouraged by Javi Baez's two hits, where he's golf swinging and taking advantage of off speed and then turning on it for base hits and extra bases in the home run.
Oh yeah, that was classic Javi. Like, who does that? Like, it's the ball is down, and I think it was away a little bit. So not only does he go down and get it, he takes it from the outside and pulls it to left field, and that's the deepest part of that ballpark at PNC. So it was like, it is one of those, like, how did you do that? Why did you try to swing at that? But okay, that looks great.
But that's Javi. Like, that's the double-edged sword that is the Javi Baez approach, right? But you want to see that production, because that hitting is going to beget hitting. At least that's my hope, people. It's been a rough week.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, like I said, 11 hits yesterday. Cubs get an off day today. They are 12, make that a 5:35 game at Pittsburgh tomorrow, right here on 670 The Score. When we return, Layla, let's talk about Jake Arrieta, because he's had two. Well, I thought, we'll talk about it. Let's talk about Jake Arrieta and what he was yesterday and what he might be going forward for the Cubs this season.
And don't forget, we have Michael Pena from Sports Illustrated.
Oh, I forgot about Michael Pena. We'll do
and
the
so
Cubs
this
stuff
is what
later.
Happens when you cover two teams really well, in the Bears and the Cubs, Grody. There's so many thoughts. And we're going to talk Bears on this show, because Groat's here and Bears. But maybe we split that segment up later and do Bears and your extra Cub thoughts, because I agree about Arrieta. How do you like that?
I love it. Yes, Michael Pena, NBA writer for Sports Illustrated, wrote some stuff about the Bulls. We'll talk about the Bulls from last night. So I'm just going to do different teases now in succession for the next 5 to 10 minutes.
No, people need to know what's on next. This is how we get into the crazy show that they want us to have with you, me, and Raji, where we just run around like three-year-olds.
Grody, focus. It is the Bernstein and Rahimi Show on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
The Score is Chicago Sports. Chicago Sports is The Score. Thanks for keeping us the number one sports station in Chicago. Listen on your radio, your laptop, your mobile device through the Odyssey app, or tell your smart speaker to play 670 The Score. We're live and we're local. 670 The Score. An Odyssey station. This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Levine, the lead pass, and Tice throws it down at a two-handed slam. What a delivery once again by Zach LaVine. And LaVine in 31 minutes with 17 points, but more importantly, 11. Count them, 11 assists, and wow, the Bulls lead by 20.
Zach LaVine ended up with 22 points and 15 assists. Working that, he had that lob game working with Daniel Tice last night a couple of times, where he did that. LaVine looked like he was having fun. 22 points and 15 assists as we welcome you back into the Bernstein and Rahimi Show. I am Mark Grody, filling in for Dan Bernstein today. The Bulls with a 122-113 win over Toronto last night. That is three straight wins for those Bullies. You heard it all right here on 670 The Score last night. Chuck Swirsky and Bill Weddington on the call like they do. Let us talk some NBA as we zoom out a little bit, get the national perspective as we bring in Michael Pena. He is an NBA writer and reporter for Sports Illustrated. He joins us on the Score Hotline. It is presented by Alpamonte Nissan. Alpamonte Nissan in Melrose Park on North Avenue, or apnissan.com. Michael, how are you today, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
We are well. And I know you've been writing a little bit about the Bulls lately, and I guess the the first question I want to ask you is, what should be the expectation for the Chicago Bulls this year? At this point, 22 and 28 overall, obviously having gotten Nikola Vucevic as part of this team, should this be a playoff team now?
I don't know. I mean, I think that for sure the expectation should be to get into the play-in tournament. Don't fall behind the Toronto Raptors, who they beat pretty handily last night, and kind of see what happens from there. The play-in tournament is obviously an unprecedented thing, and we don't know how it's going to all shake out. But, you know, the Bulls have a ton of talent, and in such a small sample size situation where they, you know, they'll probably have to play, or I shouldn't say probably because the standings are so bunched up, but assuming they're the ninth or the 10th, they'll probably have to win two games to get into the playoffs. And then from there, you'd have to obviously go up against the Bucks or the Sixers or the Nets. And so making the playoffs would be nice, but I can't really separate them yet from the Celtics, the Knicks, the Pacers. They're kind of just bunched into that group right there. And I guess when they do get into the play-in tournament, we'll kind of see how everything shakes out from there.
The reaction to getting Vucevic here was elation, partially because of the post presence that he brings, the offensive power that he brings, just the firepower, what he could mean for Zach LaVine. But you also described him, and I think fairly, as an aging and complimentary all-star. Can you expand on that and why that might be a concern moving forward with him in that contract, too?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a huge fan of Vooch. I've loved his game for quite some time. I think he's one of the more underrated players in all of basketball. And when I describe him as age, I mean, he's a 30-year-old center, which is not the most attractive piece in 2021 NBA basketball. And his contract is okay, just because it goes down every year and it's not a max or anything like that, even though he probably would get one if he was a free agent this summer. But in terms of just his complementary abilities, I mean, he's one of the better pick and pop bigs in the league and has been for a couple years now. His 3-point shooting has gone up a level this season. And he's also able to, as you said, you know, he's a pretty physical post up threat, and you can run offense through him at the high post. You can throw it to him on the block and force double teams, and he can pass out of that. And we've seen a little bit of that, those actions so far in a Bulls uniform where he's super effective. But just the way that he creates space for Zach LaVine is going to be really fun to watch. The way he creates space when Zach runs high pick and rolls with someone like Thad Young, which has been a really successful combination for the Bulls all season long. You can't leave Vooch alone on the perimeter. He's such a great spot-up shooter. I think it's, I meant that more kind of as a positive trait, but for sure, like, just the way, like, I don't think you're going to win a championship with Vooch as your best player. That's going to be a little tricky. So I think they'll need more talent eventually, but for right now, he's just a really nice piece to add to a team that is trying to find an identity and trying to grow with some young talent around Zach LaVine as well.
Well, that's interesting you say that you can't necessarily win a title with Nikola Vucevic as your best player. They were talking about in the broadcast last night about how, okay, you do have two stars now, I think, in Nikola Vucevic and Zach LaVine. And the hypothesis was, if you got two stars, that makes it really easy to recruit the third. Like, the Bulls can be one of those teams that free agents or guys that exist under contract on other teams might be attracted to now, because the Bulls supposedly have two stars. When you look at it from a national perspective, is that the case? Are players going to look at the Bulls and say, yeah, they got the thing. They've got two stars. Will other players want to jump and be part of that with the Bulls now, or is that not the way it's perceived nationally?
No, I mean, I no disrespect in any way to Wendell Carter or even to Lauri Markkanen, but if I were an NBA All-Star or a very good NBA player, I would much rather play with Vucevic and Zach LaVine. I mean, that's just a much more attractive environment for me. And in my column, you know, I posited that Bradley Beal would take a look when he's a free agent, and there are ways for the Bulls to just straight up afford him in free agency when or if he opts out of his current contract with the Washington Wizards. And, you know, like, Brad Beal is a lot can happen before then, for sure. I mean, the Wizards could trade him to a team that, you know, like the Golden State Warriors or something like that, where it just kind of takes him off the market altogether. But I just have been really obsessed a little bit with the connection between Billy Donovan and Brad Beal going back to college. And I think that the fit there is really fascinating, and there's a lot of upside there. And I do think that you could make a very deep playoff run if you were just to add a Brad Beal to that situation and be able to keep someone like Patrick Williams, who I adore and I absolutely love his game. I mean, he's already guarding the other team's best scoring threat basically every single night and doing a pretty good job at it at 19 years old. So if you're able to keep him, let him develop in your system. You still have Vooch. You still have Zach LaVine, who's one of the more explosive scorers and efficient scorers in the league. And you throw Beal in, who's obviously the scoring leader. I just think that that's a very explosive mix right there and could yield a very positive outcome.
Oh, that would be awesome. I am all for Bradley Beal potentially.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that.
Chicago.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will also ask you this. In your column, you called Tomas Satoransky criminally overlooked. And I just loved that description. Tell us why.
Whenever I watch the Bulls play, like Tomas Satoransky just doesn't make mistakes. He never beats himself. He gives 100% effort on every possession. He's hitting the three ball this year, 42%. Doesn't take a lot of threes, and he doesn't take a lot of shots. But he always just makes the smart play, the right read. I have full confidence every single time the ball is in his hands that he's going to make the right decision. He's a selfless player. He just maximizes his athleticism. As I said, the effort is just all, I mean, it sounds silly to kind of overlook it, but the effort is just there on every single play. And you can fit him into almost any kind of lineup because of the way he can handle the ball, put it on the deck, attack, drive, kick, and he's a spot-up threat. And his size is great. So I just adore Satoransky and everything he brings to the table, and it was really nice to see him kind of jump into the starting lineup a couple weeks ago.
Well, yeah, and to that end, the ripple effect of that has been you have Coby White coming off the bench, the Lauri Markkanen for that matter as well, but all of a sudden, those two guys finally, because they didn't look great coming off the bench at first. Finally, it seems like they're starting to get that part down. Like Coby White, 15 points last night, had a beautiful step back three. Markkanen, looking at it right now, he had 18 points in 18 minutes. So it appears, and I'm sure they don't want to come off the bench, but it's suddenly it looks comfortable. Things look right in that regard.
That's definitely, I mean, if you're trying to win right now, that's just the lineup that you need to play. Like, in my opinion, Lauri Markkanen probably should come off the bench, and Coby White should for sure come off the bench. And, I think, like, under the contracts that both of those guys are on, they're not, like, negative influences on the team at all. And I actually think that Lauri Markkanen catches a lot of grief. And I was probably a little too harsh on him in my column a little bit as well. But I just look at it like his restricted free agency situation is such a curious one where right now he's good value and he's a big 7-footer who's knocking down nearly 40% of his threes at a high volume. But if you have to pay him a lot more money, all of a sudden you take yourself out of interesting free agency situations and you ruin your cap space. And you lock into what you are a little bit. And I don't think that Lauri Markkanen can kind of max out on what kind of player he can be in the NBA in the situation where Zach LaVine is going to have the ball a ton. Vooch is going to have post-ups and he's going to be running primary pick and rolls with LaVine. And so yeah, it's just a tricky situation for him and for Coby going forward where Coby was, you know, drafted to be the point guard of the future. And I think that is shifted a little bit based on his development so far, where, you know, if you have him on a rookie scale and he's coming off the bench and he's getting 12, 14, 15 points a night, that's wonderful. But then looking past that, how much are you going to pay him? And it just kind of, the contract situations make it a little bit tough for the front office to deal with.
You also brought up a storyline that I think got pushed aside a little bit here in Chicago because of the Vucevic trade. And it especially made more sense once Zach LaVine became an All-Star. And that is the idea of what a contract for him moving forward could look like, especially if he continues at this level of production. What could you see that being?
Well, if he does what he, next season, if he sustains his production, I mean, a max is just guaranteed for him, like no doubt about it. Some team is going to want to pay him that much money. And the Bulls would be, you know, unless they were able to replace him somehow, which is going to be pretty difficult, they would be foolish not to pay him what he's worth, which is going to be the max. Right now on the deal he's on, it's one of the better values in basketball, just based on the season that he's had and how efficient he's been. And, you know, he's one of the better pull-up three-point shooters in the league, which is the most, one of the more important shots in basketball right now. So if you're taking, you know, however many he is at a high volume and knocking them down at a high rate, that's super valuable. I don't see him, you know, when I look at Zach LaVine, you know, he's only 25 years old. I see him continuing to improve. And, you know, in the game last night, it was against a banged up, depleted Raptors squad. But the way he kind of playmaked a little bit was, really, I think that was a positive sign to see, especially as more talented pieces surround him. So, I mean, when I look at his contract, it's going to be the max unless something disastrous happens. That's just kind of the track that he's on right now.
Yeah, and to your point, for people who didn't catch the game last night, the Raptors had seven players out, including their big dogs, Kyle Lowry and Fred VanVleet, but that's what you're supposed to do, and the Bulls have won three in a row. Do you think, and we're talking to Michael Pena, NBA reporter for Sports Illustrated here on the Bernstein and Rahimi Show, Grody filling in, is Lowry Markkanen a goner from this team after this year?
I think so. That would be my bet, and I was honestly... I was pretty surprised that they did not trade him before the deadline, because now you're in a situation where if he gets a big offer sheet or even just an offer sheet that you're not comfortable paying, you kind of have to match it or lose him for nothing, which you don't want to do. So there could be a situation where the Bulls kind of swallow it and match the offer sheet and then look to move him almost immediately from the contract just to get something back. But that's always tricky as well. You could also do a sign-in trade, which is a possibility. Those are also trickier to pull off than just straight up trading him before the deadline, which I thought they were going to do, and they might regret not doing that. If I had to guess, I would say that he's not on the team next season. I could obviously be wrong there, but it just from everything, you know, looking at how this team should value its cap space going forward, I would rather have that, I think, than paying Lowry Markkanen a lot of money.
Yeah, I agree with you. Michael, great stuff. We'll continue to read you in Sports Illustrated, and I'm sure we'll talk to you down the road. Thanks for coming on with us, man.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Michael.
Again, Michael Pena from Sports Illustrated. If you want to follow him on Twitter, you could do so at Michael V as in Victory, Pena, P-I-N-A. It looks to me, I want to make sure I get this tease correct, Layla. The Midday Midway is coming up. What have you for the Midday Midway next?
Well, I figure we can scatter shoot a little bit today. I have some geological activity that is stressful, and it is the birthday of one of the true goats of our sports existence.
Oh, that is so great. I want to tell you who I ran into last night during dinner in town, downtown, ran into somebody. I thought it was very fitting, the person who I ran into. And also, I have some fun audio from the Cubs game right here on 670 The Score. So all of that is coming up next. It's the Midday Midway next on the Bernstein and Rahimi Show. Mark Grody filling in on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I'm getting out the dancing shoes.
Hey, golfers, tee off your Saturday mornings from 6 to 8 a.m. with the Scorecard Golf Show, starring multimedia golf industry insider and editor of Chicago District Golfer Magazine, Chicago's own Barry Cronin, along with The Score's Mike Esposito. Listen in for training tips and lessons from local pros, plus hear from the leaders in the golf world. The Scorecard Golf Show, presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine. Tomorrow morning, 6 to 8 on Sports Radio 670 The Score. An Odyssey Station.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
The first half or the second half, you know, it's they're two equal times.
Now, Midway.
The Midday Midway.
One, two.
Midway, the most important of the year.
Three, four.
The most exciting thing on the Midway.
5, 6, 7, 8.
Our objective is Midway.
9, 10.
You guys gotta meet me halfway out there.
So real, you can almost feel
the Midday Midway with Bernstein and Rahimi. Middays 9 a.m. to noon on The Score.
You good, Grody?
Welcome back in. I'm here.
All right.
I'm here. Sorry, had a little breakdown right there. This is the Bernstein and Rahimi Show. I'm Mark Grody filling in for Dan Bernstein today. So far on the show today, we came out hot for the White Sox, talking about your mean Mercedes, and is it legit? Is it possible that this is not just a novelty act, that it is for real? I wondered that for the first time yesterday when he skied that home run in the first inning into left field, like 500 feet. Lance Lynn, good old-fashioned country hardball. Talked about the Cubs and Craig Kimbrell, and what does it mean? Does it mean it's good for the Cubs because the Cubs can win this year, or does it mean it's good because Craig Kimbrell would have value at the trade deadline and the Cubs hit the baseball yesterday? We also just talked to Michael Pena about the Bulls. He of Sports Illustrated, and we've got a ton more to do on the show, including Fergie Jenkins coming up at 11, but this is the Midday Midway, so Layla, show us how it's done.
We have a lot to get to. We overprepared for this segment. We only have like 10 minutes to do it. So let's start with volcano talk.
Oh, good.
Yeah, because, you know, what's more scary than a volcano? I can't think of much, frankly.
Hot
At
lava
least you get a little bit
me.
Of warning. Yeah, like tornado, scary. Pandemic, scary.
Right.
Nuclear war, also scary. Volcano, super hella scary.
Instant death.
The Caribbean... Yes, Caribbean island of St. Vincent has declared a red alert and issued an evacuation order for northern areas after seismologists warn that the La Soufrière volcano shows signs of an imminent eruption. Imminent.
Ooh.
And also, did you know that volcanic eruptions can derail planes? They have to go around them because you can't see because they're spouting up all the ash in the air.
Oh, yeah.
Volcano. There's a lot of issues that come with volcanic eruptions. They contribute to global warming. There's a lot of concerns here. Monitoring stations had reported long earthquakes, which suggested that fresh magma was trying to reach the surface and indicated that the volcano was moving to a, quote, an explosive stage. And this is what always scares me about those people who want to like live on the islands. You know, there's like HGTV and they have like House Hunters International. And it's like, I've got $35 million as a part-time yoga instructor to buy some beautiful house on an island. I'm like, do you really want to do this? Because there might be a volcano. Like, I'll visit, but I ain't staying. I'm getting the heck out of there.
Have you ever been to a volcano?
La Soufrière's most devastating eruption was in 1902, when about 1,600 people, most of them who were indigenous Caribbeans, were killed. This is heartbreaking. That occurred shortly before Martinique's Mount Pelee erupted and destroyed the town of Saint-Pierre, and that killed more than 30,000 people.
Oof.
Earth is crazy.
When a volcano erupts, like, the lava comes splashing down, right? That's the part that kills you, right? Like, the heat?
Well, no, it depends, because it depends on the shape of the cone of the volcano. This is geology 101. Like, there are volcanoes in Hawaii where they're constantly, quote, erupting, end quote, but not really, because it's just, like, a gradual flow of lava. But if it's a type of cone, that's what indicates the violence of the eruption.
Okay. Hey, the Blackhawks were on 101 last night.
Lava
101.
Yeah, they're on channel 101. I'm sorry.
I saw five volcanoes out there, just out there rumbling, ready to go.
So
and then
last
I was
night,
thinking about like the other stations that we had to watch all the games on, you threw me
so
for one
confused.
There, Groats.
That was
you did.
So confusing, man. Channel one, the Blackhawks got demoted to channel 101. The Hawks are like, what the hell? We didn't even
it's
know
like
there
the
was a channel 101.
Side channel because of the writing delay that threw everything off. We don't have much time to do these other stories.
Okay. All right. So really quickly, I went to Harry Carey's last night downtown to celebrate my good buddy Dan Levy's birthday. Was there with the Mark Carmen and a Dan Dorfman, and we ran into Dutchie Carey. How cool is that to run into Harry Carey, his wife, Dutchie Carey, at Harry Carey's when you're at Harry Carey's? And we took pictures of her. I just put it on Instagram and Twitter if you want to check us out with the turns 92 Dutchie Carey, and she's just wonderful, Layla.
I bet. I've never met her, and you have a really good gift for running into people all over the place. Like, I ran into you once with Carmen, and you guys put me on your Instagram Live, and that was a pretty fun time.
Oh, yeah. Back at the old NBC Sports. Yeah, Carmen, Mark Carmen, and I, we saw you. We ran into you. Let's get a picture with the Rahimi. Yeah, that was wonderful. And then I ran into you, of course, at Jingle Bash that one time. Katy Perry's Jingle Bash.
You were actually there with your nieces, and I was there with my friends being a teenager.
I had cover. All right, there's some audio you need to hear because this will go right into, since we just mentioned Dutchie Carey. Let's go to this audio I heard yesterday. It was hilarious. I was listening to Pat and Ron doing a great broadcast like they do right here on 670 The Score. And as people know who listen to the radio or watch TV, there are many sponsors that broadcasters have to get in. And in this case, strikeouts are sponsored. And Pat does the reads afterwards, but it seems he lost his read. Listen to how Pat handles it. I thought it was hilarious.
Strike three called. Frazier caught looking. One away. Brothers, fans, Frazier. All strikeouts by Cubs. Hurlers are very good for the ball club.
Yep. Brothers with an excellent slider after a couple good fastballs. And this guy is one of those guys that could be a really big key. If he can throw strikes with that fastball, because he's in the mid-90s, and then get the slider over, he's going to be tough for left-handers to do any damage against.
Kevin Newman, the batter, takes outside. Yep, all strikeouts are a good thing for the Cubs pitching staff, and they're also brought to you by your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers. You'll never strike out with a Hyundai. Brothers working on Newman. And I felt like saying, oh, brothers, a moment ago. There's a pitch outside. And you have several papers in front of you.
Yes.
You hope you pick up the right one.
How'd that work out for you?
You don't always do it.
Oh, really? I didn't notice.
No, sometimes you'll pick up something. It says home team heroes, and that has nothing to do with anyone striking out. Reynolds, a switch hitter batting right-handed, waiting for the 2-2 pitch. Checks, did he go? I think he did. That is going to be strike three. He chased a pitch down in the dust, and down he goes. It's another strikeout, which is a good thing for the Cubs pitchers. That's brought to you by your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers. You'll never strike out with a Hyundai. We go to the eighth inning.
Strikeouts are a good thing.
I like them. I am pro strikeouts.
Oh, that was so good. I love Pat Hughes and the smoothness with which he handled that, and Coombe as his foil and sidekick. That was just a wonderful moment. I'm glad I caught the first few innings on radio yesterday.
Oh, Pat is the best. And they are so smooth. And I have definitely had that moment where I was reaching for something and I was talking live and I reached for the wrong thing. And I'm like, I still have to talk right now and I need the other piece of paper.
Oh, yeah.
How'd that work out for you?
Coom. Just a subtle snipe. We have to say happy birthday to one of the goats of the industry. Like, really? The goats of sports, really. John Madden. Mm. 85.
Wow.
Happy Madden's birthday. Mike. And I just love the idea. ESPN has a really great essay right now on their website. 23 Tales of the True John Madden. And for me, growing up, there was nothing better than Madden and Summerall and the late game and just the way they narrated a game. And Madden is how I learned football, because My dad didn't play it growing up in Iran. So it was pretty awesome to learn from John Madden on his, you know, when it came to just how he would paint the picture of a game, and observing John Madden's birthday, I just found that to be really appreciated.
He's so the best.
I think of like Madden, and I think of the Madden memories because it's a tribute, and the turducken. That's also one of my favorite things. The idea of the turducken being some sort of sports, I don't know what you call it, trophy.
Yeah, and it always seemed delicious to me, and I've never had turducken because really the duck just adds fat to the sometimes dry turkey, right?
So, working in many cities as I've worked, as people know, one of them was close to Louisiana, and they actually made the turducken, and they would ship mm-hmm. it. It's Cajun specialty, and it's the stuffing of the turkey with a chicken, and then the duck inside the chicken.
Oh my God!
Turducken.
Yeah. Is it delish or what? I mean, did you enjoy it or is it complicated?
I had a slice and it was like nothing I had ever had. I don't even know how to explain it. Cajun seasoning makes everything better, in my opinion. Like, I could eat Cajun food every day. I would probably turn into Lance Lynn of broadcasters and not be able to throw strikeouts. But when I think of Madden and, like, obviously the video game and the bus and the turducken, but just the true celebration of football and the bird on the field, how he would always circle the bird, just everything that man taught me about football and like lifestyle. I just loved that essay from ESPN, so I wanted to shout it out.
Yeah, I think he's the best. I think he's the best football analyst of all time. And he was the first one to kind of point out the peripheral things. And you know, I'm old enough to have remembered, you know, early Bears or 80s Bears games. And he was so part of the Bears broadcast because he loved those two, like the black and blues and Soldier Field. He loved that stuff. So we got him like right as he was rising up, and the Bears were a big part of why he became who he was, I think.
Oh, absolutely. And for those of us who grew up in a non-football household but wanted to learn football, what better way than Madden and Summerall? I mean, it just hits me in the feels, people.
Yeah.
Like, that is like my happy place.
The understated Pat Summerall, you know, Ryan Mundy. All right, I'll be damned. I'll be damned if I am going to be late for Fergie Jenkins. And so we will close off the Midday Midway for today, unless there was something else. Like, I had a monkey story, but then we could cut the monkey story. Maybe
we have
we'll
Fergie
do it later.
In like 5 minutes. We got to go.
Okay, we gotta go. We gotta go.
Wait, can you do that with Grobber? Can we bring it up with Grobber?
Oh, yeah. We'll do the monkey story with Grobber. That is so perfect. I want his reaction to escaped monkey. So we will do that. It's the Bernstein and Rahimi Show. I'm Mark Grody, filling in for Dan Bernstein today. Ferguson Jenkins, Cubs Hall of Famer, is next on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Post-game show is brought to you by... Christ, I can't find it. The hell with it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.